On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lovely summer day. Twins fall, though, 3-2 today. They had a 2-1 lead going to the ninth. They give up two, and 3-2 the final. Same two teams tomorrow. Coverage begins at high noon with Inside Twins, and then the lineup card at 12:30, first pitch at 1:10. Connor Prelip on the mound for the home nine. Earlier today, noon game, Target Center, the Lynx route the Storm, 88-68. Lynx 9-2, no fee, doesn't matter. 9-2 out of the gate this year for the Minnesota Lynx. So it was Saturday noon. Busy downtown with the Lynx game at noon. Twins at 1:10 today. PWHL into the offseason. The champs are Montreal. And the league expanding again. And now it's time to worry about who the Frost are going to lose. Heather Rule joins us. Heather, good to visit with you. It's been a while. I was off for 2 weeks due to mid-afternoon Twins games. We missed you when you were headed for the Indy 500. There's kind of a lot of water under the bridge since we talked last time. Number one, how was Indy?
Indy was great. Stevie, yeah, thanks for asking. Good to talk to you again. Indy was a lot of fun, kind of a trip that came together a little quickly once the hockey teams around here were abruptly out of the playoffs. Yeah. Because as I was following that, it was like, well, I don't know. Are we going to have overlap here again with hockey and the race? So I was able to go on a road trip with my mom, which was a lot of fun. And I had a couple of, you know, weather issues. You know, if they were doing anything other than oval racing, it wasn't even an issue, really. Just a few sprinkles. But fun race, fun to see the finish and the closest finish in Indy history, which was awesome to see that. My dad was at the race in 92, a very cold Indy 500, I think still the coldest one on record, but that was the closest finish for more than 30 years until the end. We saw David Malukas get his heart broken and Felix Rosenquist make that pass there at the line, which it was so exciting to be in the grandstand. And we were in turn three, and they have different video boards up around so we could see them coming out of turn four. And I could see he was getting a run there, and I thought, okay, is he's gonna make this pass? And 20 years ago, actually, it was another close finish. Marco Andretti almost won it as a rookie, and the Andretti curse kept up as Sam Hornish Jr. got him at the line for that race. So, yeah, really a fun trip, and it's good to be back there as always.
Yeah, for sure, and a great show. Let's get into the PWHL before we run out of time, and let's talk about number one, who the Frost protect. No real surprise. I know Lindsay and I visited about this earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, in who you can protect, and the names certainly didn't surprise me. What about your thoughts, Heather?
Yeah, definitely not at all. The more I was looking at it, I mean, you can protect three players, and the decision was kind of obvious, right? I mean, you had Kelly Panik and Taylor Heisey, two of the top scorers in the league all season with just amazing years offensively. So, and you know, they protected Heisey last year as well, first overall pick in the draft, the inaugural draft a couple years ago, and protecting a goaltender in Matty Rooney as well, I think. All seven of the eight teams protected the goalie. So with only three spots, I mean, those were almost kind of the obvious choices, right? It's unfortunate because they didn't get to protect a defender. And you have, you know, Kendall Cooper with a good rookie season. You have Lee Stecklein and Kendall Quinn Schofield they protected last year. And then you know, they have so much depth. You have Grace Umlinkle, who they could have protected, or Britta Kirsalemme. Yeah. Who was left unprotected as well. So, yeah, not much of a surprise. I mean, he kind of almost had to take those players, especially Panik and Heisey with their skills. And, yeah, it was pretty obvious that those were good choices to make.
I was really excited that Kelly Panik was protected. She's just such a good person, and obviously coming off an amazing season. I think she's up for a bunch of awards still, and just happy we're going to see 12 out there. I was going to have to buy a different jersey. But we do have news for the Minnesota Frost roster, right, Heather? Like, that's how we look. We can't really make sense of the actual expansion process and how this is happening, but we do know that there's already been a pretty seismic shift for this roster.
Yeah, it's a complicated process when there's, a whole, I think you say, like an Instagram carousel, and they're making animated videos the league is putting out to try and explain. It's a six-phase process for expansion, yeah. A little different than last year when there's four new teams coming into the league. So far, I think I have right now, there's been 12 players that have been selected to San Jose, Hamilton, and Detroit so far. And for the Frost, Britta Kerr-Salemme, who, like I said, was left unprotected, she was signed by Detroit in the expansion process. So she led the league in assists this year. She also is a bit of a controversial player for a lot of fans out there who don't like her style of play and don't like some of her views off the ice as a person. She has been suspended multiple times for high hits and is a penalized player as well, but at the same time has the skills and did lead the league in assists this year. So it's that is the first and only player so far that the Frost are losing in the expansion process.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up, because when I was at the site and you talked about the video, maybe it's a little too complicated if you need to do that. You know, it seems to me that you would just have the first round, and then players or teams could pull back players. You know what I'm saying? Just make it a little bit more straightforward than, all right, we need videos, and we need AI to jump in and help us understand this.
Yeah, I would agree. I was reading through it again today, trying to, kind of make sense of it all with the different phases, because I think there's, they're in phase two right now. I think there's another phase where some more players could be protected. Yeah. I think they're looking in this phase, expansion teams could have up to five players on their rosters. And like I said, three of those teams have four players signed right now. And then I think it was phase four, expansion teams can have up to 10 players on their roster. And then there's another phase where existing teams can negotiate and sign remaining players as well. I know the Frost going into it had 16 free agents, and similar numbers, I think, for some of the other existing teams as well. A lot of free agents out there. And with, again, expanding with four teams, last year was two teams, so it was a little different process. It'll just be interesting to see kind of when the dust settles, where everyone lands, because it'll be a different look to the teams next year for sure. I think even more than this year. Last year, the Frost kind of survived, getting a couple of their top defenders taken, and Sophie Jakes and Claire Thompson going to Vancouver. And, Vancouver and Seattle, I thought, were going to be, maybe stacked and have better years. And, they both missed the playoffs. And there's, there's some coaching changes as well with existing teams and the new expansion teams. So it's going to be a different look for sure.
Yeah. Heather Rule joins us. Sorry to step on you, Steve. I just want to get one more question here about the PWHL. You can find all of her work at The Written Rule of Sports. It's on Substack. That's where you got to go to stay up to date. But this expansion is very rapid, and we know that this entire league is owned by one business, so you can kind of pick and choose your spots and when you get to do things, like canceling games at the last minute like they did with the Frost in Montreal before Game 5. But when you look at the talent and what's already being spread out, and you look at all these new bodies that are coming in, not just women that are graduating from college, but even people that have been playing for years that have gotten themselves back into shape, they see this opportunity. How do you see these next couple years going, especially with, I think it was last week, the PWHLPA released salaries for the first time. And so we're seeing how much these women are making, and that's going to change a whole lot over the next couple years with all these expansion teams. But how do you see this impacting the overall health and growth of the league? Is it too much too fast? Because some people are going to ask that question. I'm not. But where do you see it?
I have thought about that. I think ever since the league started, I've just been really kind of cautious because I've seen the other iterations of professional women's hockey kind of come up and stumble and, you know, not be to this level of what this league has become. So I have worried about, you know, expansion too quick, too soon, that kind of thing. I'm hoping after this season, maybe the next couple, I haven't heard beyond, like, you know, what are they thinking as far as expanding even further beyond this, the 12 teams. I would like to see things settle down a little bit and just kind of have, you know, you're expanding by four again. These are the 12. Kind of go with them. You know, I know they've had a ton of these takeover tour games these first couple of years as well. And I know there's been, it's been kind of hot and cold with some of the fan reaction on that too, because there were a lot of these places where fans thought, okay, maybe we're going to get a team. And now, you know, they're going to Vegas and San Jose. And, you know, a lot of, they're not going to Denver or Chicago or some of these other places, DC, where they've had takeover tour games. So I would like to see things maybe settle down a little bit. At the same time, I think what's interesting is, and I think Kendall Coyne Schofield talked about this, it's pro sports. Like, this is really a part of what it is. And it's, you know, you're not, players are going to move around. You're going to have free agent signings. You're going to have, you know, trades, things like that, that maybe, you know, didn't happen in the other iterations of professional women's hockey before this. So I think that's ultimately a good thing. And I think the more talent that can come in, it'll be interesting to see the, how the draft goes too, with a lot of these college players coming in. And, you know, I hope that the product will only continue to get better and improve. And I'd like to see just the fan bases really grow as well, just because ultimately I think that's what the, that's what Melissa Caruso, the Frost GM, was saying the other day to the media, was ultimately it is about growing the game. They're aware that these decisions right now are difficult because, you know, like she said, if we don't sign a player, they sign somewhere else that, you know, they were with the Frost, it doesn't mean we don't want them here. You know, it's just, this is the way the system is set up. And, you know, so like with Britta Curl, it doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't want her here. Was, you can only protect three players. And this is a situation, now she's going to get a chance to play on a brand new expansion team. So I'm hoping that it's only going to go, you know, go onward and upward from here. And, you know, I've heard a couple things that, yeah, this is, that is what they're thinking. It's just, it's going to continue to improve and grow the game.
Yeah, and final thought on all of that, I think for the people that control the league and the family that controls the league, when are they willing to sell franchises and bring other people into the mix and make the decision-making process a little more complicated? That'll be a huge next step for this league when they're willing to sell individual franchises and give up total control.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. That's kind of maybe one of the next phases or next pieces of this league, because that is what has been a little complicated, I think, sometimes, is the league owns all the teams. It's the league in charge of everyone. So I think you're right. Like, yeah, that'll be a next, kind of a next step in this process, as things hopefully, like I said, maybe settle. That's what I would like to see, and just kind of settle down and continue to grow, but also just grow these fan bases and grow these new fan bases and these new locations that you have. And I haven't heard too, if now, you know, with 12 teams, are they going to have divisions or conferences or kind of split things up that way? Or are they looking at maybe expanding, you know, games per season too? Haven't really heard much on that as far as for next year, but I think that's something I would look forward to as well. Maybe just kind of expanding the season a little bit. And I'll be interested to see too, if the playoff format expands at all, or if they end up going to 7-game series at some point rather than the 5-game series.
Heather, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time. Dylan Larkin wants out of Detroit. Could he end up with the Wild? We'll have to maybe get into that next week. And when the dust settles in this PWHL expansion draft, we'll visit about that. Let's do it again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Always good to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
There she is, Heather Rule, joining us. And quick break. We'll come back. Lightning round, read and react. We're going to go quick. Steve Carney will take us outdoors here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show. Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.